This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And at 9:04, it's time now for Sports Saturday, brought to you by Prairie Farms Dairy in Carlinville. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. By Bruce Webb Insurance in Farmersville and Raymond. By Security National Bank with locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. By Midwest Basement Technologies. Call 618-372-7077. By the Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro. And by Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop in Litchfield. Here are the guys. It's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Tobinat, thank you very much, and welcome to Sports Saturday. Hope everybody navigated through Friday the 13th without incident.
Are you a triskaidekaphobic?
I am now.
Are you? Spell that for me, would you?
Not a chance. I watched that spelling bee on ESPN. I would embarrass myself to no end.
In radio, as long as we can spell it phonetically, who cares?
That's all that matters.
Well, that's not true anymore because we have the website.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I hated that.
That pesky website.
That pesky website, I tell you.
WSMIradio.com, by the way.
Yes,
get a podcast.
That's right.
Today's show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a special show.
If you dare.
If you want to. But it's a special show today, Terry, we're going to talk a little coaching and a little officiating because we got a crew of Smiths in the studio.
The Smith clan is here with us today, along with Uncle Ralph.
My hair?
Uncle. Yeah.
I think so.
I guess. Okay.
Yeah. Pinch him. Make sure he's still going over there.
Yeah.
You're not flipping pork chops?
No. No. Took a hiatus in July and August.
Did you?
That's no burger flipping.
Okay. You only did like 16,000 in the spring. So,
yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. All righty. Well, we have Dan Smith, his son Jeremy, and Jeremy's wife Michelle, all in studio with us. We're going to talk a little bit about officiating. And of course, Dan and Jeremy have officiated. Michelle's a coach. Jeremy's a coach. Dan's been around sports forever. Man, Dan, you've been officiating for as long as I can remember, man. I mean, this is a thing where you finally got rewarded with a state tournament basketball championship appearance this year.
Yeah, we got to go to Peoria, me, Rick Toll, and Todd Brook, our first time, and 1A, 2A boys, and it was all I thought it was going to be. Other guys told me that you better enjoy it because you have to go up on Thursday night for meetings and you referee Friday and Saturday, and before you know it, it's done. And 4 months down the road, nobody remembers that you did it,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
So it's over before it gets started, it seems like.
Well, you've been such a good official for so long. It's hard to believe that was your first trip to state. What's the process? How does the IHSA determine which officials are going?
Ah, the $64,000 question.
Maybe there is no set way.
If you figure it out, let me know.
Now, by the way, coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to have some IHSA officials joining us on the show. So maybe we'll ask them that question and see if we can get a decent answer.
A straight answer, maybe?
A straight answer? Probably not. But
this will be my 25th year of basketball. As Rick Toll and I have said, talked about it a long time, is that you just put your time in. Mm-hmm. If you don't mess up and you put your time in, if you're doing the games, the coaches must think you're good enough to do their varsity games, that you will eventually move up the ladder if that's what you want to do. Jeremy's coming. He's been doing it 11 years.
One of the best young officials in the area, right here.
Thank you.
He really is.
But it's just like putting your time in and staying with it, and if that's what you aspire to do, you know. There's a lot of guys out there just want to go do the JV game and be home by 8 o'clock, which is fine because we need a lot of JV officials. I think it's just a matter of working the games and staying with it and the experience.
And it was a special year for you because you had some health problems this year.
Yeah, last September I had a heart attack and I got a stent put in and went a week, and then my heart stopped. And so I got a pacemaker and defibrillator combo. I got two for the price of one.
All right.
Wrong. But
they found a way to charge you for the other thing.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But the real thing was the cardiologist. When I got released from the hospital, my cardiologist, one of my questions was, first, when could I go back to work? But,
that wasn't the first question. Yeah.
Okay.
No,
really. About the third or fourth. Yeah. The first one is, can I drive? And then, can I ref?
Yeah. But so I asked him when I could referee. Well, what do you referee? Well, football season was about over. I knew I wasn't going to be able to finish football. So I said, well, basketball. He said, definitely not this season. And I'm going, what? You know, and okay. Plus, he wouldn't let me drive for 6 months, which blows my mind. But he was afraid if you had another episode. So I went back in January and for another test, and everything's fine. And first thing I said was, hey, I'm back to work. You know, why can't I drive? Nope, 6 months, you know. And he wouldn't drop, you know. So I said, well, you know, I've been working out, going to the gym, doing the treadmill, blah, blah, blah. I said, why can't I referee? His thing was, well, I don't know why you can't referee. Well, that was January the 4th. I had a game on January the 5th or whatever that date was. Yeah. But the funny part was my wife was sitting in the lobby, and I told my cardiologist, I said, hey, you got to do me a favor. Go tell my wife that you said I can referee. Mm-hmm. He said, I'll do better than that. I'm writing you a note. So,
nice.
Anyway, so it turned out good. I started refereeing in January. I got to do state tournament in March. So,
sweet.
And then I'm just curious. We often hear about parents who get nervous when they watch their kids play or parents who get nervous when they watch their kids coach. When you watch Jeremy officiate, do you get nervous?
No, I don't think I get nervous. I mean, he's going to be 28 years old, and I will say I am kind of – not patting myself on the back, but I mean, he's pretty good official.
Well, he's a real good official.
For being in after 10 years and stuff. I got him started when he first year of college. He was 18. And he'd been doing 6th and 7th grade tournaments for when he was in high school, you know. So, but no, I don't get – I got nervous when they played, you know. And sometimes I kind of lost my – you know, didn't know when to be still. But yeah, I don't know. I don't get nervous with him refereeing.
And the difference, what folks don't realize, is that when you officiate, you become a logical person. And when you watch, you become an emotional person. And you have to be able to separate the two. And sometimes they bleed over. They do.
Yeah.
But if you can keep those two entities separate, that makes you a good official.
I more than once, my wife elbowed me in the side at one of my kids' games. And as soon as she did it, I knew, Dan, shut your mouth. Mm-hmm. You're one of these guys. And as I get older, now I go to a tournament, which I'm going to work one of those games later. And like we were talking earlier, that, you know, my wife and my daughter-in-law, whoever, grandbaby sitting in the crowd, and we're watching a game, and people are being critical of the refs, and it bothers me, you know, or sometimes we just move, go to a different spot if there's, you know, one louder than others or something.
Well, fan is short for fanatical.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It happens from time to time. But Jeremy and Michelle, I'm always impressed when I do one of your guys' ball games. Of course, Michelle, the softball coach for Gillespie, and Jeremy, the baseball manager. You guys have such a good rapport with the umpires because, obviously, you know exactly what they're going through, especially you, Michelle. You know what it's like to be on the other end where you hear people criticizing your husband.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think probably in the last 4 years of our marriage, especially, then it's sort of made me more aware of, you know, what they go through and that they are just people, too, and they make mistakes. And there's a way to talk to them about making those mistakes instead of and you can voice your opinion. Sometimes I still, you know, too, every once in a while, I still don't really like a call, but, and we'll just, as Steve Joyce always told me, just agree to disagree, and I said, okay, but, so.
Oh, Steve Joyce, huh?
He was always so calm.
And now in his retired years, he's calming down a little bit, but, yeah, but he, you know, we talked about an actual call this year that I was not happy with. And but, you know, yeah, and a lot of these guys are in our community or even in around our districts, and you have to face them the next morning or, you know, you have to see them on the street. And, you know, you got to watch what you say because you get in the heat of the moment, like you said, and it gets emotional. And, you know, you really want to win that game and you think that, you know, was just not a good call. And
as broadcasters, we have a unique perspective because we can see the game unfold. And I've said this for many years that, you know, yes, every official will probably make an error somewhere along the way. But, you know, when a team throws the ball away 25 times. That's 50 points you've given away. You know, you shoot, you know, 3 of 19 from the free throw line. That's 16 points you didn't get. You know, the games really are lost by the teams for not executing what they need to do.
Absolutely. And you really got to choose your battles. You got to make sure that if you're going to fight for your kids, you do it because it's what's right.
Yeah.
You know, what it's you're pretty sure that they were wrong and that was a big deal. If not, you know, what's like you said, what's the point? I mean, if your kids aren't performing, then that's something you need to go back and take a look at.
Not of course, it was interesting to me about baseball. You know, the manager gets on the umpire for making a bad call, but at the same time, his players have made 2 or 3 costly boo-boos in the field. That took the game away from him, not that call that the umpire made, but he's the person, and it's human nature. Sure. You're worried more about the call that was made than,
And I think it all just compounds. It's like a snowball effect. You know, my kids make 2 or 3 errors, and then we make a good play, and we don't get the call, and it's like, you know, you needed that call to get out of the inning. Yeah. So you do take it out on, and it's hard for me to separate, you know, being an official, I remember, okay, how do I want somebody to talk to me? And then there's other situations I just...
And that's a great point. Talking as opposed to screaming.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But go ahead, Tim.
I was going to say, Jeremy, you had an interesting end to your season this year with the regional game and running out of daylight. Just kind of talk, because I was very impressed with your quotes in the paper afterwards. You weren't critical of anybody in any way, shape, or form, but just kind of go through your thought process. You've been on both sides of it, and that's a tough decision for the umpire.
Oh, it's very tough. And the thing I keep telling myself is they're not going to change the call. No matter how much you complain and nag and whatever, they're not going to change. But in that situation, I mean, I think they made the right call, and, you know, calling the game, but I wish they would have done it
a half inning earlier.
Or as Dad and I were talking, at least say, hey, we're going to play this half inning or we're going to try and get this whole inning in.
And then be done.
Whatever the situation is. I mean, I know Brian at Southwestern, you know, we're pretty good friends, and he called me after the game, and he had a few choice words, of course, and I said, Brian, what are you going to do, Slow? You know, we got to come back tomorrow, and you got to get 3 outs. Should be easy for you. And then it turned in, you know. And then he called me the next day and said, you should have beat me.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, Slow. Tell me something I don't know.
We've got Jeremy and Michelle Smith in studio along with Dan Smith. We're talking high school coaching and officiating here on Sports Saturday. We need a break. We're back following these messages.
Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Law Officer at Security National Bank. Farmers, it's time to get your finances in order, and we're ready to help you at Security National Bank, a small-town bank where we know your name with an established reputation in the area since 1932. We can help with all your ag lending needs. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with 4 locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Kurt's 24-hour heavy and light-duty towing and machine shop now has a heavy-duty tow truck and can tow your semis. They have a crew cab rollback to transport your car and your family, and they can pick up your motorcycle. There is nothing they can't tow. When you need a tow, remember Kurt's 24-hour towing and machine shop in Litchfield. 324-2400. That's 324-2400.
And at 9:17, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Partly cloudy skies for today. There's a chance for some showers. Expect a high of around 90. Partly cloudy skies continuing on through tonight. There's still a slight chance for some rain this evening. Expect a low of around 70 degrees. And then for tomorrow, partly cloudy skies, still a slight chance for some showers. Expect a high Sunday in the low 90s. Right now at 9:18, we have a temperature reading of 80 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by Paris Frozen Foods in Hillsboro. It's the home of the Big Porky. Sports Saturday continues in just a moment.
Is your home moving without you? You don't need a realtor. You need the foundation repair experts at Midwest Basement Technologies. Serving Central Illinois for over 30 years, correcting bowed or cracked walls, settlement problems, or wet and leaky basements and crawl spaces. If you live in Central or Southern Illinois, they service you. Call 1-800-848-9805 for your local service tech or visit them on the web at MidwestBasementTech.com. For money saving coupons, that's MidwestBasementTech.com. Remember, foundation problems won't go away. Protect your investment.
Farming doesn't follow an 8-to-5 schedule. A slow week is 60 to 80 hours. My land, livestock, and family rely on me. That's why I bought farm insurance from Auto Owners Insurance, because every policy comes with a local agent, a real person who lives right in my community, who I can rely on to keep my farm covered no matter what.
See the Bruce Webb Insurance Agency in Farmersville or Raymond.
And at 9:19, Sports Saturday continues. Once again, here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
Before we get back into our conversation with the Smiths, I want to thank Earl Sarles this week. Earl and Doris hosted the World Series trophy from the Cardinals. Cardinals brought the trophy up to the Sarles Farm Supply and had a huge crowd there. Got pictures taken with the trophy, and we'll have some of those posted on the website eventually.
Yeah, a few people showed up, huh?
A few. But it's been a long time since Main Street of Raymond was packed in the middle of a day, in the middle of a Thursday. Yeah,
well, maybe since Raymond won the state baseball.
And you know what was really neat is Josh Stone, the current baseball coach, went and got the state championship trophy, and they sat him side by side for a picture, which was really kind of neat. Sure. I was telling some of the Cardinal officials about the we like our baseball, and when you look at this area, I mean, we have a lot of great sports and great team, but baseball has always been pretty good generally in this area.
If the other sports are down, baseball is usually, we always have some pretty decent teams around.
So. Well, we've always said here on Saturday Morning Sports that try to think of another area, just local area that has – 3 Hall of Famers in baseball, and we got 3 right here in the Litchfield, Hillsborough, and Nokomis area.
Yeah, Bottomley, Ruffing, and Shaw.
That's right. Yep. So, talking with the Smiths here on Sports Saturday, and Gillespie has really had a nice run over the last year. Of course, Jeremy, you guys won the regional last year in baseball, and then this year, the girls' basketball team, of course, the regional, softball team winning a regional. So, Jeremy, Michelle, just kind of your thoughts on what it's like to lead a team into the sectional. Pretty neat feeling, I would imagine.
Oh, it's great feeling. Joe Kelly and I are my assistant. We get to the point now where we just want to get past that sectional game. I think that's been the monkey on my back. But
you've always told me you want to play on that on Memorial Day.
Yes, yeah. I always say we're either at the lake, Lake of the Ozarks, or we're hopefully in East Peoria. But it hasn't happened yet. But the lake's, I guess, an okay alternative.
That's
but
not bad.
It's nerve wracking. But on the other hand, I think after this many years, it's we're just kind of wanting to keep going. We just want to play good softball and see where it leads us, and hopefully all the things that we learn throughout the year pay off. But as long as we're successful and the girls, play well and have, enjoy their time, then, we're happy.
One of the great things about sports in the United States is that they're tied in with education, which is not necessarily the case around the world, where you have club teams and really, you lose the educational aspect of where, you have to keep grades up. It's a reward system. So we're very fortunate in this country to have high school sports. A lot of people might argue with me about that, but I think it's a huge plus for our country.
Absolutely. I mean, I tell the girls all the time, anytime you can get, free money, basically, to go to school, do it. If it's for a year at junior college just to get, your basics down, do it, because it's just that much more you don't have to spend or take out student loans for or whatever. If you can, if you can do it, especially if it's something you love to do.
Well, everybody needs an education, and it can be a great boost towards helping you get that education, and we all know that education, the cost of it just continues to skyrocket.
Absolutely.
And more difficult for the average family to put that child into college.
Yeah, I tell Jeremy, I said, I hope Jillian's good at something because by the time she's in school, it'll probably be 50 grand a year or more.
You're going to make her a left-hander?
Because there are some private schools. I think his dad did that to him, so I'm sure they'll try at least.
Watch every time she picks something up in her right hand, me or dad yank it out and put it in
her left. There you go.
Hoping it'll work. But.
Yeah, that's where you got to start, though. You got to start.
Tell us a little bit about your success with Regional, Jeremy, and what it meant to you. And, of course, you were part of some very successful teams at Gillespie when you were in high school.
And I think that's part of, you know, I always tell Michelle, I said, you know, she's had a nice run of softball. And, you know, we've been kind of, I don't want to say down but in baseball, but we have. And hopefully that'll change this year. We've got, you know, eight guys coming back of the starting nine. So, but, yeah, when you think about baseball in this area, I mean – one of the first people, I mean, Sam Stewart, Gillespie baseball,
yeah.
You know. So, yeah, I mean, it is fun. I mean, nothing like a small town coming in after winning a regional, you know, parade with fire trucks and all that. But I keep telling her, you want to get to that point where winning a regional is an expectation. It's an every year thing, you know. No more parades until we get past sectionals or whatever. So, yeah, it is fun, without a doubt.
Of course, you guys almost had a very interesting dynamic this year. I remember talking to you during regional week, Jeremy, and as Gillespie was on the way to the softball championship and you were hosting the regional and you were kind of torn with your allegiance. Do you? Because if you go to the sectional and they lose, then maybe you're the jinx.
That's right.
Because you weren't there before.
I think that's happened more than one occasion, especially last year when we won the regional and she lost. They had moved the game up to Friday instead of playing it on Saturday, so I could go, and then they lost. So I had to hear about that one for
Terry. I was going to intervene one thing. Michelle will be all right if they move Williamsville and Marquette into a different section.
Well, Marquette is just next year will be in a 3A situation. So
but every other time when they send her north, she runs into Williamsville, and you know how good they have been.
Well, and Williamsville and Gillespie met in the state championship game a few years ago. So, no matter how they put the brackets, it always seems to be your button heads with the bullets.
Yeah.
So. And no matter the sport, if you're going to advance deep in postseason play, it's all about the draw.
It is. I mean, that's a lot of it is, you know, luck a little bit about how your draw is. But, you know, realistically, though, Tim, too, you have to get past those guys anyway some point. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there are some tough teams even in our sectional. Nashville was tough. Columbia was tough that Marquette had to get through.
And Nashville's always tough.
Freshman pitcher, too, wasn't it? Nashville?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, and it's there are a lot of, like you said, there's a lot of good teams in this area, which is it's a good problem to have, I guess, but not when you're trying to chase for, you know, state. Well, it's nice to see all those same teams at state.
And we've said for many years, if you take a line right along Route 16 and just go a few miles either side, it's a great section for girls sports especially.
Yeah.
You know, basketball, softball, soccer even. And, you know, we've got some great teams right along the Route 16 corridor.
Right. We've always said that. I don't think, and you being in the coaching profession and being a young lady, I don't think any sport has progressed more than girls' sports. Whether it's softball, basketball, you look at where they were 10, 15 years ago and where they are today, and I'm talking about athletic ability, it's just amazing what they have accomplished.
I mean, this being, of course, the 40th year for Title IX, it was a good year, but I mean we had a great year at Gillespie, and I think that all the way around with the girls, and you don't really notice it until we got towards the end and we're like, gosh, the girls did this in basketball and then they did this in track and softball and soccer. Even had a really good year at Gillespie this year.
Did they win their regional?
They lost the regional
championship. Yeah.
But you know, and to say for it to have three women's sports in the same season be that successful, because that's been a struggle at a small school, of course, you know, having three sports and, you know, sharing athletes, and which we do. You know, three of my girls were also track stars, so we're always hoping that we want them to go to state and we want them to do really well, but we don't want them to be there on Saturday because they're an original championship. But, and you know, it's a good experience for them that they're able to do both. I think prepares them for life to be able to face different challenges.
And as you stated earlier, the better they are in these sports, the bigger opportunity to get that scholarship.
Sure, absolutely, because now they can choose, you know, am I going to do track or am I going to do softball or soccer or what, you know, whatever that may be, basketball. You know, and if they don't choose to go, like, you know, I have Laura Halpin is going to Maryville next year, but she's going into the physical therapy program, which is, you know, a lot of
heavy
time,
duty
commitment, yeah, and a lot of education. Commitment. So, you know, she's not going to play, and that's fine. That's great, you know. But if Peyton and Abby are both going to play, and if they can do it. And that is a lot of time commitment because, you know, you're up in the morning working out. And I don't know if a lot of people realize, but, you know, the girls have a big workout, too. They're playing fall ball and spring ball. They get up in the morning, they work out. You know, they go in the afternoon, have practice. Usually they're, you know, in the off season, the winter, they're at least hitting and doing some other things. So it's a big time commitment along with a full-time schedule. So.
And it's a personal sacrifices they make in things that they may do in their own private life that they can't do because they're involved in basketball, softball, or whatever the sport is.
Yep, absolutely. I know that Peyton and Abby are both playing this summer, and they're gone every weekend or
yeah.
a lot. I know Abby was gone for 10 days, you know, out to Colorado and back and then to Indiana, and they're all over, and their parents really make big sacrifices, too, to either follow them or sure. financially, you know, support them so that they can do that. They get some really awesome experiences out of it, getting to travel at that age, you know, to get to play at different teams, but yeah, it's definitely sacrificing their time to be spending by the pool or whatever they could be doing. Yeah.
And athletics is all about confidence. Could you tell a different confidence level in your girls coming into the softball season after the basketball run that they had?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that definitely sparks it. And, you know, Alex and Lonnie and both Grays, you know, it helps because, you know, Jeremy and I talked the other day, actually, in a class. We always say success breeds success, and it's nice because it does give them the confidence. They've played against those other girls, and they know they've beaten them in something else, and, you know, it gives them a little bit of a bump to go after them again.
Helps
so.
To win.
But, you know, sometimes it can help. It does, but sometimes it can maybe help to lose. I remember we had the game between you and Southwestern, the last regular season game of the year. It was a great game, extra inning. Southwestern got you guys, but then you got them in the regional championship. And it's just one of those things where no loss is a good loss per se, but maybe that loss wasn't the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, actually, we've said several times, you know, everybody's asked that question this year. And at first I was like, oh, we basically.
That was a game you could have won.
Should have won.
Should have won.
You know, Will Fong is a great athlete and basically won, you know, that athlete beat us that day. Yeah. And she hit the ball very well that day. And we just didn't. And it did give us a little bit of, the parents all kept saying, you know, oh, well, you know, we'll get them, and that's good because it's we always say a little punch in the face or whatever before playoffs, and they were fired up, and I was proud of them to come back. And
should have walked her.
Put a four up.
Put the four up.
He keeps saying that, and then the regional, you know, he says the same thing. Just walk her. I said, no, you know, Laura's pitching well. They did a good job.
And you know what? In all the years we've been doing softball, I'm not sure I've ever seen anybody intentionally walked in softball.
Not a lot. I mean,
baseball, I see it every once in a while, but you know.
You know, a couple times Joe and I look at each other and go, oh, we should have, you know. But,
well, I think but in you don't know. And I think in baseball, you know, it's a situational thing, you know, setting up a double play. Not so much in high school, you know, but in the professional, you know, we did a couple times, I think, to set up a bases loaded situation or whatever.
Well, sometimes you're in a situation which is pretty desperate.
You're in a desperate situation.
And you're hoping that the roll of the dice goes your way.
Right. But you're not putting a guy on back in the Mark McGuire day or Barry Bonds, excuse me, that nobody's on base, but you're just not going to pitch to him. Put him on.
Walking with the bases loaded.
You don't do that in high school very often.
No, there's not
that many big hitters, you know.
Yeah. And we were talking before we went on the air, Michelle, you guys basically used Laura Halpin for all but, what, four innings this year. And I guess, Jeremy, you're thinking, boy. I could just have one pitcher, that'd be dynamite.
Oh, it'd be
well,
nice.
The last guy, that was Dusty Bilbrook, wasn't it? When
he threw
the last guy that pitched almost every day, it seemed like.
That's why she's got it. I mean, it's a different bird, you know, baseball, softball. And baseball, you like to have five or six guys that can at least throw strikes, you know. We had the Stewart kid, you know, Zach Stewart, the dynamite this year and coming back next year, who, you know, you could count on to give us – 6-7 innings. I mean, we let him go 130, 140 pitches once. You know, stupidity on our part, but he was throwing well and kept, you know, but then he's done for a week.
Right.
Where softball, you can throw
every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think back to back. Steiner and I had that conversation at Carlinville because this year he's taken over softball, and he said, that was the biggest thing for me. I didn't realize you can pitch every day, you know. So we had some fun conversation about that, the differences. But there'll be days when I'm sure I'll have to use a bullpen, too. I think next year's coming that way. But so maybe I'll get some pointers from him at that point. But
And usually with spring baseball, you figure, yeah, we'll get a few rainouts and maybe can stretch it out. But that was not the case this year.
And, you know, I've been doing this is my third year as a head coach. And then I was with Terry for 3 years, and I was with Brian at Southwestern for one, and the past 2 years have probably been the best springs that we've had as long as I can remember.
Very few. In the first game of the season, it's 80 and you're wearing shorts. I mean, that never happens. Usually we're in full winter gear with hot hands in your pockets just trying to stay warm.
We are talking with Jeremy, Michelle, and Dan Smith here on WSMI Sports Saturday. Let's switch gears a little bit and start talking a little bit about officiating. And anybody who's gone to a basketball game anywhere in Central Illinois or over the last 10 years, if you've seen Jeremy and Dan Smith, you've seen two of the better officials that you're ever going to see. And guys, I'm just curious to get the mindset, because whenever you guys are on the floor, there doesn't seem to be many problems. You don't get too much squawking from the coaches. It just seems to be a well-run, under control game, and that's something that the officials set the tone with by your demeanor and your actions. Just talk a little bit about how you guys try to run a basketball game when you're officiating.
I just let the old guys take care of it.
that works.
Yeah. You know, no matter who I'm with, I'm always the youngest guy on the floor, so I don't have to worry about anything except for when something goes bad, and then they always look to the young guy.
Hey, go over there and kind of smooth things over, would you, Jeremy? Yeah. Okay.
No,
because it's a skill to, you know, not have the rabbit ears, to listen to what needs to be listened to, but tone most of it out.
The mutual respect is a part, big, big part of it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I walk into Carlinville, and they're playing Litchfield. I work at Litchfield games. Half the people in the crowd knows me. They might not call me by name. It's a little worse names.
It's a name.
But, no, me, Rick Toll, and Carl Fesser are partners. We go everywhere. They see us. They know we're going to call the game. They might not like some of those calls, but they know we're going to give them the best effort. We've done it a long time, you know, and, you know, we usually don't have problems. But if we do, they know we will take care of them. So, I mean, I think that makes a difference too.
And one part of officiating that I think goes unnoticed a lot of time is the fact that you have a certain style, a certain repertoire as far as the way you call a ball game.
Right.
The coaches know what they're going to get.
Right.
They know what's expected from them. They know what's expected from their kids because they know what to expect from you guys.
Right.
And not every coach, not every group of officials officiates the game the same way. No. And that's the lovely thing about athletics is that you have to learn to adapt to that thing. But you guys, you know, you're competent, and the people, I think, have confidence to know that, hey, these guys are going to take care of the game. Let's just play ball.
Well, I think, too, Terry, you know, being a sports nut, you know, I look at the sports page every morning, you know, I know the area. If I got Raymond Nokomis game, guess what?
Oh, yeah.
I better tighten down the screws a little bit because they don't like each other. And they're normally both.
They may like each other after about an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But during that hour and a half,
well,
they don't like each other.
Well, maybe at the bar after the game. but I'm telling you, during that 2.5 hour period, they don't like each other. Mm-hmm. So you know, and you usually have two good basketball teams out there. So you know you maybe need to tighten it down a little bit. You know that Nokomis is going to throw that ball press out there. You know there's, let's be honest, there's a lot of reaching, a lot of hacking. Get it early, and it takes care of it. So you kind of know going into a game. Now, I won't mention no, but you got one team over here that's usually way up here, and you got a team down here. You're going in going, okay, this is going to be a 40-pointer. You know, let them play a little bit, but if it gets a little rough, then you clean it up a little bit. So you just got to kind of know the situation, I guess.
And again, that comes with experience.
Yes.
You have to experience, you know, the freshman JV games, the eighth grade games, to build in that knowledge, work with some other experienced officials who can pass that information along to you.
And I'll say one thing real fast. I don't do a lot of junior high games anymore, but I'll do a few and stuff. I don't do any freshman games, but point being that I'm going to say, if you go out and do a sixth grade girls or boys games, I'm telling you, you're going to see everything you've all I'm saying is the varsity is much easier to call.
Absolutely.
Because they know how to play better. Right.
Well, at the junior high level, if you called every violation, you'd still be there.
Yes.
You'd never go home.
No. And if you called every travel, you know, we always, hey, now let's give them a step, you know, give them, you know, let's not, you know, or we're going to be here all night, mm-hmm. you know.
It's like the NBA. Just give them that third step.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all good. Or fourth, fifth, yeah. Guys, one of the things that I'm always intrigued about with officiating is a call in the first minute of the game versus a call in the last seconds of the game. I guess, I'm just curious on your guys' philosophy. Some people say you got to call it the same way from the first minute to the last minute. Personally, I don't know if I agree with that. I just don't know. You can see it both ways. You never want to see a game decided on a ticky-tack foul at the end. But a foul is a foul, right. So I'm just curious from the official's perspective how you guys approach that.
Go ahead.
Well, we just went to a clinic because we got to go every year. And it was one of the big things one of the speakers talked about. And I'm sure if you
asked. Who's the interpreter?
It's neither here nor there. Okay. And I agree with what he was saying, but on the same token, I don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's a shooter and he's, you know, going in for a layup and he's getting hammered, you got to call. I mean, I don't care if it's a 2-point game or a 25-point mm-hmm. game. You know, I just don't. And you could ask my dad, you could ask, you know, Rick, you could ask Todd, Fess, or whoever.
Yeah.
They may, I don't think the six of us will give you a different answer, but you could go to another guy and they're going to say, that's not how we do it.
Right.
Well, we always say protect the shooter, okay? Which means in the first seconds of the game or in the last of the game. Real quick, we had the third place game in 1A this year at state finals, Illini Central against Rockford Lutheran or somebody. No, Rockford Lutheran was 2A. Whoever. And Illini Central is up by 3 points, and the other team's got the ball. The team is down. They come down. Or we had a timeout. And me and Todd and Rick, you know, get together, and I say, hey, all three of us, let's make this a good one. If it's a foul, mm-hmm. let's make sure it's a good one. You know, because this is going to decide the game. They're probably going to shoot a three. So if you're calling a foul on a three, it better be there. You know, so it's one of those things that, you know, one or two, 3-point game at the end. You know, if it's a 10-point game at the end with 5 seconds, let's get out of here.
Right.
You know, I mean, let's be honest here. You know, mm-hmm. let's say you got an axe murder, right. You know. So it's just kind of
a feel.
But also in the start of the game, as you go, we always, you know, you're setting the tone.
Right.
You know, that first quarter, if you're not calling a hand check in the first quarter, don't get it in the fourth.
Well, you know, start tight, loosen the rope.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much it. And the players, if you're calling a tight, most of the time they're going to adjust. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you let them know that you're going to call that foul, they'll either back off or they're going to be sitting on the bench.
I played a few games like that.
Just a few.
Just a few. First half, 3 fouls I was sitting.
Jeremy always thought that, and I told him, I said, you get 5 fouls and they don't carry over.
That's what you use them.
That's right. It's like the time. And the coaches nowadays, when you use all 5 timeouts, they want to drop the 20-point play or something. It's like, let's go. Get out of there.
If it's a 20-point game, they should be denied timeouts. Yes, seriously. Yeah. I mean, or make sure it's just a 30-second timeout. Right, let's go. Yep. You know, because there's nothing you can do.
I want to get a sub in. You don't need a timeout. I got him. Yeah. Come on in.
I'll tie my shoe.
Yeah,
soccer's nasty about that. You know, with half a minute to play and you're down by 6 goals, they want a sub. I'm going, get out of here. Go back to the bench. You're not getting in.
Before every basketball game, you'll always see the officials get together, midcourt, coaches, captains. What's going on there? What are the conversations? You just kind of letting the kids know who's in charge and what's going on? Or
joke time.
It depends on who you are.
Yeah.
If you're Todd talks a little bit more. If you're Rick, it's let's go.
Have a good game.
Have a good game. Shake hands. Let's go. You know, I think everybody's got their own style.
Yeah. And, you know, we say, well, the kids aren't listening anyhow. That's why we brought the coaches in.
Mm-hmm.
But the IHSA wants us to say, well, first off, are they properly equipped, which means they finally took the uniform issue out from us. They're supposed to take care of that.
Fashion
but it also
cops.
Means, it also means earrings, you know, jewelry. But then it's sportsmanship, you know, and I always say that. Mm-hmm. They know it. Okay, here it is. But there's no – when I started 25 years ago and doing that eighth grade game, guess you come out there and you're nervous as a referee and you heard guys, black line out of bounds all the way around and let the ball go. You don't need that, you know. So it's a general thing. I try to mention the coaching box is marked. Mm-hmm. At least the coach now has it in his mind that, hey, you're supposed to be in there. Mm-hmm. My crew's pretty lenient with it. If he's coaching, just stay out of my way, you know, and don't be down on the baseline. If he's giving me a ration of stuff, then we got a problem, you know, and I'm going to say, hey, get back where you, you know. Otherwise, coach, and we're fine.
If he's teaching, it's fine.
Yes.
If he's complaining, it's a problem.
Yes. But the IHSA does not see it like that. If one of the guys is watching you at the sectional, mm-hmm. and most of the time you don't know he's there, you'll get a little email, hey, would you let John Hampton from Riverton, and he was kneeling at half court, mm-hmm. you know, but he was coaching. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But they don't see it that way. The box is there. They think it. They should be in there.
And I always find it interesting if you compare sports to just a different classroom, where a teacher in a classroom could go to a student's desk one-on-one and address a problem. Why couldn't a coach who's kneeling, you know, squatting at midcourt, not bothering the official, right. not bothering the other team, not right. bothering, just trying to teach, what's the problem?
Right.
I don't know.
Well, okay, we have to have rules. We have sure. to have guidelines, you know. And it's,
but there are real rules, and then there are rules that,
how many times
like the coach's box in third base. You know, come on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How many times have you seen 3 seconds
right.
called?
Yeah. right.
We're not going to call 3 seconds yeah. unless I got a 6'7" post player mm-hmm. getting an advantage in there. Mm-hmm. You know, camped in there.
Taking a nap in there.
Yeah. But we're going to talk him out of that.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear me blow my whistle for a 3 second call.
Keep moving, guys. Let's go. Let's go. Keep moving.
Get out, you know.
You're camping.
And it's those types of conversations that people in the stands never hear. They have no idea what you guys
are
doing.
But they're hollering, 3 seconds, 3 seconds.
Yeah. Well, they don't understand the 3 second rule, which
right.
is not just the fact that you're in there for 3 seconds. It depends where the ball is. If the ball is advancing to the basket, if the ball is being shot, there's no 3 second count.
Right. Terry, they don't. Every referee, I think, will tell you, or most of the veterans, experienced guys will tell you that. That guy's got the ball in the middle of the lane, and he's looking for a shot. Now, he's been there 8 seconds. If he shoots the ball, I still ain't got 3 seconds.
No.
If he passes it, now I got 3 seconds.
There you go.
But fans don't see that.
Right.
No. They don't understand, you know. So.
Yeah. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We're back with the Smiths after this.
Fresh strawberries, one of nature's blessings. To enjoy fresh strawberries even more, add farmer-owned Prairie Farms dairy products to strawberry recipes. Prairie Farms whipped cream to top the shortcake. Or use Prairie Farms fat-free half-and-half to make strawberry top cheesecake. Whatever you make with strawberries, make sure the dairy products you use are Prairie Farms. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Farmer-owned.
The 2012 Macoupin County Fair runs Monday, July 16th through Saturday, July 21st. WSMI coverage of the Macoupin County Fair brought to you in part by M&M Service Company, the local answer to your world of needs. Carlinville Area Hospital, excellent health care close to home. Main Street Bridal on the Square in Carlinville and Quality Title and Abstract on the Square in Carlinville.
And at 9:46, let's take a look at the weather forecast brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Partly cloudy skies for today. There is a slight chance for some rain. We'll have a high of around 90. Partly cloudy skies continuing on through tonight. Still a chance for some rain. We'll have a low of around 70. And then for tomorrow, partly cloudy skies. Still a chance for some showers. We'll have a high Sunday in the low 90s. Extended look at the forecast Monday through Wednesday. We'll have partly cloudy skies. Highs will be in the mid-90s. The low will be in the low 70s. At 9:47, we have a temperature reading of 81 degrees, and the weather forecast is brought to you by CarQuest in Carlinville and Jacksonville. You'll find it at CarQuest. Sports Saturday continues in 1 minute.
If you're a farmer or an agribusiness, it's good to bank with people you know and trust. Hi, I'm Jim Miller, Vice President, Senior Loan Officer at Security National Bank. I specialize in ag lending, and Security National Bank's ag lending staff is experienced and ready to serve all your farming needs. We offer competitive rates. Stop by and see us today or log on to securitynb.com to find out more. Security National Bank, your hometown bank you can trust since 1932, with 4 locations to serve you in Witt, Coffeen, Irving, and Fillmore. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Since 1899, four generations of Huffs have been dedicated to serving families in Central Illinois. Today, they continue that tradition of compassion, personal attention, and professional service that started long ago. The Huff family has always tried to place the needs of their families first, to provide them the information to make wise decisions at such a delicate time in their life. Today, Dan and David Huff continue this family tradition. Huff Funeral Homes in Raymond, Farmersville, and Hillsboro, you do have a choice.
And at 9:48, Sports Saturday continues once again. Here's Tim Mize, Terry Tote, and Uncle Ralph.
All right, Tobin, thank you very much. The Smiths joining us in studio, Jeremy, Michelle, and Dan, and I'm talking officiating and coaching. And Michelle, I just want to get your thoughts. Is it harder for you to watch Jeremy manage or watch him officiate? Which gets you more tied up in knots?
That's a good question. I mean, I think in both officiating, the only thing that probably irritates me the most or gets, you know, is like Dan had said before, sometimes you're sitting in the stands and you hear people say things. Well, now you're not a coach or a teacher anymore. You're a wife, and that's my husband that you're talking about, you know. And being a little bit of an Italian that I am, sometimes I have to, you know, simmer that down. But so you just kind of let it roll. Like I said, it's always emotional, and it's hard to listen to sometimes. But like he says, you move away or you – sometimes I've nicely said things to people before. Like, you know, we don't – it's not nice. You know, there's people's officials' families sitting here, you know.
If it was easy, everybody could do it.
Well, and that's what Brenda always says. I always want to put a shirt in my purse, and then when they, you know, start saying, give it to them and say, here, if you think it's so easy, go try it. She always says that. And I know after that many years of officiating, you have to have a little bit of a thick skin. I haven't gotten to go as many this year just because we have a young, you know, young daughter, and she's doesn't sit still for that long. So that makes it easier. As far as baseball, I'm pretty confident in his coaching abilities. I think sometimes maybe more than he is at times. But that's part of – it's nice for us because we can have that talk, you know, and say, hey, you know, sort of keep each other up. Last year he got the reign of the house for a year because they won regionals and we didn't. But
can I let her know about it every chance?
Oh, yeah.
So the tables have turned.
So, yes. And so he doesn't like it so much when it's that way. But, I guess same thing. You know, you don't want to – we have being in Gillespie now for 4 years, you know, I've gained a lot of friends in the community and the new parents, and I've really had a good set of parents in the last few years. But it's you still don't want to, you know, they want to talk to you about, since I am softball coach, they want to talk to you about different game situations, and I just try to avoid it as much as possible. Because you don't, you know, I mean, it's, you know their kids, and I'm also their teacher typically, and same thing. He's still my husband. So it's a little bit different with baseball because I guess it's more closer to me coaching wise because I'm a softball coach. But
getting back to basketball and you having two gentlemen here who are officials, in your opinion, how has the going to the three official format over two? What has that done to the game? In your opinion,
I don't know anything but three men. Because I've only been doing it since
I realize that.
But for him, I mean, I played with two-man officials, and I, you know.
The old-time coaches, Mr. Kimbrough.
I know where you're going
Mr.
with this.
Mr. Kimbrough told Rick one night he'd rather see just one of us out there than do a better job, you know, whatever. But, no, There's that third set of eyes. You are in two-man. You were when I started for the first 15 years, it was all two-man. Mm-hmm. It was me and Rick. Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm 52, and Rick and I cannot do a two-man game no more.
And three-man's let a guy like HUD stay in it until it's 60. You know what I mean?
You know, or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you in three-man, you watch an area, and you know – your focus is like a little triangle. If you got the ball, if it's in your area, and if it's out of your area, you're looking in one little spot. And I know a lot of coaches might say, well, I, you know, they don't like to hear, and we're not supposed to say that, or I've learned not to say that, is that wasn't my call. The coach says, well, why didn't you get that? Well, I'm sorry, but I'm the trail official, not at half court, but a few steps down from half court. It happened over in the opposite corner, and I got a guy on the baseline looking right at it. Now, for some reason, he deemed that that wasn't a foul, and you have to trust your partner. So, coach, he had a very good look at it, and I'm not calling that from back here. I might say, from here, I got the same viewpoint as you, and it looked like a foul to me, but I'm not getting that.
And sometimes, as referees, you just get screened where, you know, the ankle may not be right, and you can't call what you don't see.
Well, the players are getting bigger. Either that or I'm shrinking, one or the other, which could be. But, you know, you get straight lined. You got – not only have you got the offensive player, the defensive player is in front of him, and – I can't call what I didn't see, you know, and I'm not going to make it up. So
that's how that to me. That's when you could really get yourself in trouble if you start guessing out there.
Yeah.
The one thing that you sometimes you know will quote guess is when you got that out of bounds call and you really didn't know for sure. And I'm selling that.
Sell it.
And the next thing I know, here toot on the whistle. Here comes Rick. Dan, did you really see that? I said, no. He says, well, you missed it. You're going this way. You know, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But what, as a little experience, you just blow your whistle, put your hand up, and look, say, I need help.
Yeah.
And usually the other guy's got a good read. The ball was tipped. Okay. So.
And to me, no matter the sport, where you're talking football, baseball, softball, basketball, the hardest call that an official has to make is the block charge. I mean, to me, when we watch it from our vantage point in the broadcast, it could go anyway. It always seems like it's 50-50. How tough is it in real time with the block charge?
Sell it. Right or wrong. Right or wrong. I mean, you see what you see, and if it's a block, just come out and, you know, sell the block. If it's a charge, you can. The thing with three men is that you really got to block charge. You got to be slow. You know, slow down a little bit and make sure you don't
get
have
your call that you ain't got another guy out whistle. Front on the same side. Usual rule of thumb, or it is our referee rule or whatever mechanic,
right?
Is what I'm trying to say is that the center, when you're the only guy on that side of the floor, he takes the ball to the basket. That if that guy is going on his side, the other side, the trail takes it until. You know, like a post play or something, and then it comes into the lead area.
A lot of people don't realize the mechanics involved. It's just not a bunch of guys out there raising their arms and pointing one direction. Right. There's a set of specific mechanics that it's actually adopted by the National Federation of High Schools, and it's a very effective method. And the great thing and that I like to point out about Jeremy and you and the crew you guys work with is that your mechanics are impeccable. I mean, you know what's going on. You know what the call is. And really, you don't have any trouble selling it, as far as I'm concerned, because, boom, we see the mechanics, we see the call, we understand exactly what the call was. Whether you agree with it or not, doesn't make any difference. You've already sold it at that point.
Right. Young officials that I would tell, and I did the same thing. When I started, you thought you had to, right now, you got to be fast. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the point. Slow down.
Take a breath.
At the state tournament, the head official was like, guy, our first game was a normal community, which was 6'7", 6'6", 6'5", in Rockford Lutheran. He says, guys, let them block shots. Well, all that means is they're going to shoot the ball and watch, delay and watch what you got. You can get the foul. You know, if they hit them on the arm and take it down, you don't have to be, you know, let them block shots. Well, that was hard for me to learn, because boy, I hammered that whistle when I was younger, and I'd hammer the whistle, and ooh, I got a foul, and I'm going, oh, he didn't even touch him. And then when you got a foul, you're already stuck with it. Mm-hmm.
You can't go back in.
No, so you got to slow down.
Yeah, anticipation kills.
Yes, yeah, and that goes back to learning experience, you know.
Guys, we are running out of time here on the show. Thank you so much for coming in and talking, coaching, officiating. But, Jeremy, before we go, It was a few years ago, Terry. I think you had the ball game.
Yeah, Gerard.
And Nick Sloman made a bucket, got excited after the fact, and you took one right in the kisser.
Yeah. Never seen that before.
No.
And it was strictly accidental. It was
just
emotional play, and then he reacted. And almost. But we thought you handled that situation.
Almost.
Perfectly.
Thanks. I've been there. I mean, kids, it's a
packed house.
Packed house, big time ball game.
Rivalry.
I don't know why I was officiating that kind of a ball game. But, I mean, it's heat of the moment. I get it. I mean, I never hit an official, but I mean, I would, get fired up type of things when I played.
But in that type of environment, the crowd's amped, the players are amped, all on emotion. But as officials, emotion's the last thing that you guys need to run on.
Right. And I think that, again, that comes with time, experience. I mean, you learn how to handle those situations. So.
Well, keep up the good work.
Thanks.
You guys, you do a great job, and we enjoy seeing you, and before long, school will be back in session. And
don't tell them that.
I know.
Middle school baseball's 2 weeks away.
How about that?
Oh, my goodness.
Very intricate part of the game, and without you, the sports would be in trouble. But keep up the good work, and I know there's a great demand for young people to get in the game, and especially young ladies. I've said many a time, I don't understand why more young ladies, with all of the female sports that's in school now, don't take up the officiating part of it, but they don't seem to be much interest there.
There are a few, but you're right, there's very few. And honestly, in our area, there's very few women coaches, too, really. No. I mean, there's starting to be more and more.
Jeremy, Michelle, Dan Smith, thank you so much for coming in studio today for Sports Saturday. We are out of time. This is WSMI FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carthenville, and Greenville. The station you can count on. It is 10 o'clock.